Every time they sing that song, it just works me over pretty good. Just bear with me a little bit this morning. I'm just a little bit full. When I think how He's been faithful, He's always stood by my side. I think about how faithful He's been to me and how unfaithful I've been to Him. Instead of standing behind the pulpit, it kind of makes you feel like wanting to crawl in a hole somewhere. But I just want to thank Him this morning. Y'all testify all the time. I'm just going to testify. Thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Thank Him for His faithfulness. Job said, "My Redeemer is faithful and true." Amen. We do our best to be faithful Christians, but even our best isn't good enough, is it? I believe we'd all have to say we're probably unfaithful at times, but God has been faithful. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. Boy, it's good to be saved, ain't it? Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Yeah, a bunch of Baptists think they're better than everybody else." No, we're just forgiven. Amen. We're probably worse than everybody else. Amen, but we're forgiven. Thank God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter number 12. I hope you know the story. If you've ever seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, this is right toward the end of the movie. God sends Moses into Egypt and tells Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. God's chosen people, Israel, are in bondage. They're in captivity. They're slaves. You understand that? They're not a free nation. They're not a free people, even though they're God's chosen people. But because of sin and their own iniquity, they've allowed themselves to become in bondage. Amen? And that's exactly what we do as people. We allow ourselves to become in bondage by sin. Well, God saw fit to redeem or to save His people, to bring them out of bondage. So He chose a servant. Now, this is how God always works. Do you understand? As humans, we find ourselves in a bondage situation, in a bondage to sin. One guy was smoking a cigarette one day. He told me, he said, "I can quit these things anytime I want to." And I thought, "You're a liar." Amen? Sin has a way of getting a hold of you and enslaving your life. Amen. If you're not, you say, "Well, I'm not in bondage to sin." I guarantee you, you're a servant to your flesh. Amen. I guarantee you are. Try fasting for about 7 days. We'll see who the boss is. Amen. Amen. We find ourselves in bondage. And like with Moses, God sends a servant with a message. And God's still doing that today. All these newfangled churches have got all these new methods. God's never changed His method. Amen. Amen. He's never changed His method. God has always had a plan, and for that plan, God has always had a man. Amen. And I ain't much, but I am the man for this hour. Amen. And God sends that servant, and he goes down there, and he tells Pharaoh, and by the way, the servant that he sent is wanted as a fugitive in that town. In Egypt, Moses is wanted for murder. He's got to go right back to the king where he's wanted for murder and bring him a message from God. I thought about that. They were singing this morning. I was thinking about the message, and I thought, my soul, here I sat this morning in church with Bubba Meadows and Stacy Bullock and Jeff Bolin and Jeff Cash and all these guys that I grew up with. They know my past. A little too much of it. But that does tell you one thing. They were where I was. Amen. But now God's chosen me to bring them a message. Amen? I thought, boy, what a blessing. God always will send you back. God will always send you back. And He says, "Tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And you know the story. Pharaoh doesn't let the people go, and God begins to send plagues on Egypt. You got it? You remember the flies and the frogs? He turned the water into blood. Well, this is the last plague here we're going to look at in Exodus chapter number 12. God is going to send a death angel through the land. And that death angel is going to kill the firstborn son of every household. Now, God makes a way of escape for His people. He did then, He did in the middle, He did now, and He will in the future. Amen. In other words, God said judgment is coming. There's no way around it. Judgment's coming. I'm not going to change my mind. I am going to judge the world. It's going to happen. It's amazing to me how lately, just these last couple of years, all these movies are coming out about the destruction and the end of the world. Have you noticed that? I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it is at all. You know, God can even use a wicked thing such as Hollywood to bring about the awareness of reality. Brother Thomas Hogus out in our junior church was telling me about a movie came out sometime back. He was telling Brother Freddie and I about it, and I'll think of the name of it in a minute. But the movie was set that the bomb had went off, and all these surviving people were in I don't know what you call the kind of state they were in, but anyway, that was all these survivors, and this one man was traveling across the country, and everybody was after him because he had a book. And it was the only one that existed, the book of Eli, somebody just said it, and it was the only one that existed. You know what it was? It was King James Bible. Wow. What I'm saying is God is trying to heighten our awareness that judgment is coming. Amen. I mean, it's just down the road. God is going to judge the world. Somebody said one time we was on visitation, a guy said, I just don't believe in a God that would allow the things to go on that are going on. He's not. You understand it? He's not. Amen. The molestation of children, God's not allowing that. He will judge it. Yes, sir. Amen. Adultery and the homosexuality and all the things that are happening in our nation and our world. The Islamic terrorists that are murdering people by suicide bombs and all these things. God's not allowing this. God will judge it. Amen. And the Bible said that He is a just judge. Yes. So He says judgment is coming. Pharaoh, judgment is coming on you. But He said, Israel, I love you. So I'm going to make a way for you to escape. You say, well, that's talking to Israel. Well, over in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, He's talking to me. When He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Are you listening to me this morning? He said, Israel, I'm going to make a way for you to escape. But I'm not just going to give you a pass on the judgment. Something will be required of you. In Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 13, I want you to look at it. He told them to take the blood of a lamb. And here's what He told them to do with it. He said, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. Let's back up and catch that little phrase again. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. When I see the blood, He said, I will pass over you. But somebody had to go out and get a lamb. Somebody had to kill the lamb. Somebody had to apply the blood to the doorpost. It had to be done like God said it. There was a process. Somebody said, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe. Well, you can believe in the tooth fairy for all that goes, man. You're crazy if you think that. We got to do it God's way because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, God is specific in His plans. Yes, and it must be done His way. Amen. 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 Do you know everybody in this room who is saved by the grace of God got saved the very same way? Yes, sir. The condition of your life may have been different. Yes, sir. Your circumstances may have been different. Are you listening to me? Your stature or your standing in the community may have been different. The depth of sin you had delved into may have been different. But you got saved the very same way that I did. If you're saved, you ask Christ to forgive you your sins, to come into your heart and be your Savior. If you didn't get saved that way, friend, you didn't get saved. Are you listening? God made a way for Israel to escape this judgment. And by the way, the death angel did come. Amen. Amen. Yeah. The death angel did come. I love that song, I can't remember the name of them now. Brother Freddie might help me. About the little boy who woke his daddy up in the middle of the night. It was about this story right here. And daddy said, "Daddy, would you go and see if the blood's still there? Daddy, would you just go check and see if the blood's still there? I'm glad I checked this morning and the blood's still there." Hallelujah. He said, "I'm going to make a way for you to escape because judgment is coming." And listen to me this morning. He's still making a way of escape because judgment is coming. Look at Revelations chapter number 20. Revelations chapter number 20. Very familiar scripture, but maybe we just need reminding. You say, "Preacher, I don't need this message. I'm saved already." I bet you know somebody who's not. If we would succumb to the realization of the judgment of God, it would make us better witnesses. Amen. If we really realize people are dying and going to hell and that it's coming soon, we'd see more people going to the mission field like Brother Eric. We'd see more people handing out gospel tracts. We'd see more people on the altars praying for their loved ones. Amen. In Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 11, John said, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now listen to me, very careful. You can follow whatever theologian you want to follow. There's a slew of them out there that'll tell you that hell is not a place of fire. We just read it together. If the Bible says fire, friend, it don't mean warm. It means fire. It don't mean sunny outside. It means fire. Amen. There is a fire and a place called hell. And it is coming upon those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I'm glad I got a pass on that judgment right there. Are you listening to me? I'm glad I don't have to stand before God that day. Why? Because preparation has already made. God made a way of escape for me just like He did those children of Israel. And the blood has been applied. Amen. Amen. You know what God will say at the great white throne judgment when He sees me? Passover.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's good.
Yeah, bro.
Passover.
Amen.
When I see Him, all I see is the blood of my own son.
Yeah, bro.
Amen. Aren't you glad about it?
Yes, sir.
Somebody ought to get happy and shout like Legina this morning.
Amen.
You ain't got to go to hell. Amen. Judgment's coming, but God has made us a way of escape. How foolish would it be to hear the truth from the Word of God? Hey, it's not just what Brother Eddie believes. I'm reading to you what God said. How foolish would it be to hear the truth of the Word of God and see that God has made a way to escape for you and I to miss this great white throne judgment and say, "Nah, I'll pass. I'll pass. I'll take my chances." You're nuts. Amen. There ain't nothing more important in your life than knowing whether or not you're saved.
Amen.
Amen. I want to look at this thought just for a few minutes this morning about the blood being applied to your life from the story we just read in Exodus chapter number 12. I want you to notice this morning the prominence of the blood. The prominence of the blood. In this story, the emphasis is on the blood. The emphasis is on the blood. It's not on the person applying the blood. The emphasis is on the blood. The Bible puts the emphasis on the blood all throughout the Bible. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews said, there's no remission of sin. Amen. Without the shedding of blood, the blood must be applied. Somebody said, "You got a bloody religion." Yes, I do. It was bought with blood. It was paid for with blood.
Yes.
Amen. My sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. The prominence, the emphasis is on the blood. I mean, brother, we see the emphasis on the blood all the way from the book of Genesis with Cain's bloodless sacrifice.
Amen.
That God wasn't pleased with. You remember that? He brought the fruit of the ground. Abel brought the lamb. Is that right? Abel shed blood for his sacrifice. Cain didn't, and God was displeased with it. Amen. And he's still displeased with a bloodless religion. When a man won't get up and preach on the blood of Calvary, God is displeased with that kind of preaching. When a man won't get up and talk about how Jesus suffered and bled and died, when a man gets up and says we're no longer singing hymns that have the word blood in them, it offends people. No, that offends God. Amen. As long as I've got breath in my body, as long as I've got vocal cords in my throat, we're going to hold high the bloodstained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the prominence and the emphasis is on the blood. Amen. They want to put the emphasis on everything else today. The music service. The praise and worship. I meet people all the time. They say, what kind of band you got at your church? Yeah. Well, yeah. We got one of them one-man bands. Hey, man. Amen. Our emphasis is not on the music. We love good music. Yes, sir. Right. But our emphasis is on the blood. Right. Are you listening to me? Hey, we've got a baptistry and it's full of water. And we'll baptize you if you get saved. But the emphasis is not on the water. Right. You listening? The emphasis is not on the water. Amen. It's on the blood. Amen? To go through there, you must first come through here. Calvary is what I'm talking about. The prominence of the blood. The blood was important. They couldn't go and get red paint. It had to be the real deal. Amen? It couldn't be a fake or a phony. It had to be the real thing. You listening to me? We got people trying to work their way here. We had two guys. Brother Freddie was mean to them, and I was glad. We had two guys a while back, maybe it was a couple years ago, we were out here in our parking lot, and we saw them coming. They had on white shirts, black ties, and dress pants, and were riding Huffies. If you know anything, you know those were Mormons. Yeah. Brother Freddie said, get off our property. And he called them a name. And they looked at us. Brother Freddie said, I mean it. Get. He said, oh, you shouldn't do that. Why not? They're perverting the gospel. That's right. By the way, that's what he called them. Gospel perverts. Yeah. He did. Yeah. Did he lie? Yeah, no, he told the truth. Amen. The emphasis is not on works. Right. We're working because we're going to heaven. Yeah. We're not working so we'll get to go. If that was the case, most of you would not have a snowball's chance in the booger man's living room this morning. Are you listening to me? Because you ain't never done nothing for God. We okay? You've never led a soul to Christ. You don't even really pray. You don't read your Bible. How do you think you would get there if it wasn't but grace? The prominence and the emphasis is not on works. But they'll teach you it is. They'll teach you it is. The emphasis is on the blood. When we get to heaven, there will be only one thing I can say if somebody said, my goodness, how'd you get here? Yeah. And I'm sure I'll hear that one. Yeah. And I'll probably look around and go, man, how'd you get here? Yeah. If anybody's going to hell, I thought for sure it was you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know all we'll be able to say?
Yeah.
It was him. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve to be here. A matter of fact, I can't even believe I'm here. But about 2,000 years ago, he went to the cross and he shed his blood for me. Amen. The emphasis is on the blood. Leviticus chapter number 17. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. The Bible said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Wow. Hallelujah. The emphasis on the blood.
Right,
let me ask you a question. If we got Brother Charles up here this morning, and I took a needle, or I don't know how they do it, the autopsy thing or the embalming, and I took a needle and put in one of his main arteries and drained all his blood out, you think he could drive home? You think? You think he could even walk out of here? Why? We just read it. The life is in the blood. Brother Shane Reese is back there this morning in his wheelchair. He came to the altar just a while ago. They chopped his leg off at the hospital. They amputated his leg. But he's still living. You know why? Because the life ain't in the leg.
Yeah. That's good reason, brother.
My wife's sitting there this morning. She had surgery a few years ago, and they took out her gallbladder. But she's still sitting there. We went on a date last night. She's doing well. Why? Because the life's not in the gallbladder. My mother's sitting back there. She has a fake valve inside her heart, artificial valve. But she's still here this morning. Why? Because the life's not in that valve. The life is in the blood.
Amen.
Amen. The emphasis must be put on the blood. Listen, it's not on church membership.
That's right.
Any of these guys that witness and talk to people about their salvation, they'll tell you that more times than not we hear this. Well, I'm a member of such and such church.
Amen.
That don't make you saved, friend.
Right.
Amen. It's not the church membership, it's the blood.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? This is a simple message this morning, but how important it is that somebody bark out loud the truth. Hey, we got to put the emphasis on the blood.
Amen.
Because without it, you're toast, literally.
Amen.
Amen. The prominence of the blood. It's not works. It's not goodness. I don't care how morally clean you are. You can bust hell wide open. Remember the rich young ruler? Remember he came to Jesus, asked him what he had to do to go to heaven? And Jesus told him, you know what he said? He said, I've done all these things from my youth. He said, I've obeyed those rules all my life. Jesus said, go sell all you got, follow me. He couldn't do it. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, thou fool. Thou fool. Works won't cut it. Being good and doing right won't cut it. We ought to want to do right because we love Him. Amen. But works won't do it. Baptism won't do it. We've got people in this room this morning or in our church who were baptized as babies. They took them down and a priest squirted some water on their head. And that's what they're relying on to spend forever in heaven. That's a twisted gospel, friend. That baby had no choice in the matter.
That's right.
That baby had no choice. And by the way, if it did, was old enough to have a choice, that still wouldn't save it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
It's the blood.
That's right.
The prominence of the blood. Listen, then I want you to notice the protection by the blood. We had the prominence or the emphasis being on the blood, but then I want you to notice the protection by the blood. I'm glad this morning that I am safe. Amen. I love that song Ashley and him used to sing, safe from all harm. Hallelujah. The devil got after Job, and Job told God, said, I can't get to it. You've got a hedge about him. I don't know about you, but I'm glad this morning that I have a hedge of the blood of Calvary protecting my soul this morning. I wonder how many of you. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe in eternal security. Well, what do you believe in?
Amen.
What do you believe in? If you can lose your salvation, what do you do to lose it?
Amen.
I mean, so that's a legitimate question, isn't it? Jimmy Swaggart years ago was hooking up with prostitutes. He didn't lose his.
Amen.
I mean, where's the line?
Yes, sir.
God said he's not the author of confusion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
My son's sitting back there. He's a knothead. He's done some of the stupidest, boneheaded thing. You ever look at your kid and go, why did you do that? What were you thinking? He's made some bad mistakes, but he's my son. Amen.
Amen.
My daughters have done some crazy things, but they're my kids. Their name didn't change because they messed up. Are you listening to me? I mean, they've got their whippings and went on. They're still my children. You know what? My oldest two, they're both married. Ashley's got two kids of her own. She's got her own husband. I don't rule their house. I'm still her father.
Amen.
I don't even stick my nose in their business, but I'm still her father.
Amen.
Amen. That will never change.
That's right, preacher.
It will never change. We're just thinking logically this morning.
Right.
Use your head for something other than a hat rack.
Amen.
Hey man, if you're in God's family, you're in God's
Amen.
Family.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God has a pencil to write your name in the book of life, and He does not own an eraser. Hallelujah, we are safe and secure in the Lord. I'd hate to know I had to lay down in my bed every night, Stacy, and wonder. Wonder how many of you, I mean, be honest, how many of you have ever done something worthy of losing your salvation?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Today. I know me. I'd have to get saved several times a day. Because sin, is that right? A bad thought? Could a bad thought send you to hell? If that's what you believe, it could. Getting angry and waving your middle finger at somebody in traffic? We all right? I'm glad because the blood is applied, I am protected this morning. The blood was the protection. God was not looking for fame or fortune when He came through town. God was not looking on which side of the tracks they lived on. You know why? They were all in the same bucket, friend. They were all slaves. And when God comes through Happy Valley Baptist Church this morning, He's not looking for the wealthy. He's not looking for the white. He's not looking for the black. He's not looking for the poor. Hey, He's not talking or looking for the talented. He's looking for the lost.
Amen.
By the way, we're all in the same bucket this morning.
Amen.
We're all in the same bucket. Aren't you glad talent wasn't required for you to be saved? Amen. Stacy, ain't you glad looks wasn't required? Amen. Me and you both be in trouble, wouldn't we? Seriously. This world puts the emphasis on everything else. God looks at the heart, friend. The Bible said man looketh on the outward part, but God looketh on the heart. I'm glad He wasn't hunting talent. I'm glad He wasn't hunting good looks. I'm glad He wasn't hunting wealth. He just knew I was lost and I needed a Savior, and He saved my soul, and He's hung on to me ever since. I used to have a preacher friend. He's dead now. He was a holiness preacher. I loved him. Loved him. He was my friend. I never preached for him, and he never preached for me, but we loved each other. And he'd ask me every time I see him, Brother White, have you got the Holy Ghost? He'd ask me that all the time, Brother White, tell me, have you got the Holy Ghost? And I'd tell him the same thing every time. I'd say, no, brother, Holy Ghost has got me.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, you Baptist. I said, yeah, you holiness. Amen. And we'd go at each other all the time. We knew we had a little disagreement there, but we loved each other anyway. The fact is, the Holy Ghost had him too.
Yes.
Amen. The fact is, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost has got you too. I'd hate to know I was serving a God that couldn't hang on to.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I was a little boy at my papa and granny's house. I just drove by there the other day and was reminiscing. We had a well house out in the back, and we had an old well with a windlass, and you could actually draw water. I got in more trouble over that well than you can shake a stick at. But that later we put in a regular well, drilled well, and with a pump, and we had a pump house up over that. And when I was little, I was about that big. I thought that pump house was 100 feet high. It wasn't about that tall. But my granddaddy, Papa Fuller, would set me up on top of that pump house. He'd go to town every day at the same time. He'd get in his car and go to town and go up there and swap lives with the old men in Dallas. He did it every day. But I'd say, Papa, put me on the well house. And Papa picked me up and set me on the well house. And he'd back off about four or five steps like that. He'd say, come on. And brother, I would run off top of that well house and just die. You know why? I knew he was perfectly capable.
Yeah, bro.
I never doubted. I knew he loved me so much that he would never go whoops.
Yeah,
I knew that no matter what it took, my granddaddy could handle it. My granddaddy could catch me, and my granddaddy could hold me. I'm glad I serve a God this morning who has never dropped me a single time. I'm glad He's able to protect what He started.
Yes,
amen. Bible said he that begun a good work, he's able to finish it. Amen. In other words, God can start what he finishes.
Amen.
Do you feel protected this morning? Amen. Do you feel protected? I'm not protected because I'm the pastor here. I'm protected because the blood has been applied to my soul.
Amen.
I'm not protected because I'm a Baptist this morning. Did you know, and some people get sideways and a little hair-lipped with me. Did you know it ain't just Baptists going to heaven? We got some preacher friends, and I preach for a couple. They're what they call Baptist briders.
Yeah.
Amen. In other words, if you get saved in a Methodist church, or you get saved in a holiness church, whatever, and you come join their church, they got to baptize you again.
Yeah. Amen.
They preach it.
Yeah.
They'll fight you over it.
Yeah.
Boy, are they in for a surprise. Amen.
Yeah.
I used to work with a boy who was Catholic. His name was Tom. I can't remember his last name. He was a devout. He left work every week on Wednesday to go to morning mass. He was serious.
Yeah.
I cornered him up one day, Brother Charles. I said, "You going to heaven when you die?" He said, "I sure am." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior." He started quoting me scripture.
Yeah.
I said, "Why you go to that Catholic church?" He said, "Because it'd break my mom and daddy's heart if I didn't." Is that boy going to heaven when he dies? If he's not, that Bible's a lie. You listen to what I'm saying? I said, if he's not, that Bible's a lie. He said, what I do, he said, I'll probably leave there one day when mom and daddy dies. He said, but right now, he said, I don't pay attention to what that priest says. I just do what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Listen, man, there's some people may not be your same stripe. But if they've trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ, man. Amen. He didn't say if you'll believe in your heart and become a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, and I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Amen. Somebody say, what would you be if you wasn't a Baptist? Embarrassed. Amen. That's a joke. But I'm not protected because I'm a Baptist this morning. I'm not even protected because I believe in eternal security. Did you know what? I didn't know if eternal security was for real or not when I got saved, but I was secure.
Amen.
Amen. I was secure. We have a man came to our church for a long time. I talked to him the other day. Every Sunday during the invitation, I'd say, if you're not sure you're saved and you'd like the preacher to pray for you, would you lift your hand? Brother Freddie would. Every Sunday, without fail, he'd put that hand up. As saved as anybody I know. Several opportunities I got to look him dead in the eyeball. And he said, well, I know I did. I know I got saved one time, but.
Yeah.
So there ain't no buts there, brother.
That's right,
bro. One time is all it took.
That's right.
God didn't say if it comes a rain, you got to get up in the middle of the night and go paint that doorpost again. Hey, one time was all it took. The Bible said there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Calvary was enough. Calvary was it. And all I had to do was trust in it one time.
Amen.
There was the prominence of the blood. The protection by the blood. I'm safe this morning. I just can't get past that. I got one more point.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm all right.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Now, you probably know some bad stuff about me. Most preachers cannot believe I've been pastoring in the town where I grew up for 17 years. I like it. You know what it does? It just proves there is a God. Amen.
Yes,
amen. I went to kindergarten right back there in our nursery.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm home.
Yeah.
I got to get past it. There's the prominence of the blood, the protection by the blood. Then there is a specific place for the blood. The place for the blood, or the place of the blood. He said, the blood shall be to you for a token, watch this, upon the house where ye are. The blood had to be applied at the right place. You couldn't say, well, my neighbor's got it.
Yeah.
No, it had to be to my house.
Yeah,
for years, if you asked me if I was saved, you know what I'd tell you when I was a teenager? I'm Sandra White's son. That's what I tell you. She got the biggest bus route in the state of Georgia. That's my mom. Everybody knows my mom. So?
Yeah, well, come on.
You see, Lot found out that Abraham's salvation didn't cover him when he got down there. Amen. He found out that Uncle Abraham's religion wasn't going to cover him when he got down there to Sodom and Gomorrah. He had to get his own. Hey, I got mine. Get yours.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. That blood must be applied to you. For years in the bus ministry, we've watched parents. They want their children to be saved. They put them on a bus and send them to church. But they won't come. Why? It's good for kids, but it ain't good for them.
Yeah. Amen.
What a sad thing. See those little old babies come in here and hear the gospel and trust Christ. And mom and daddy die and bust hell wide open.
That's right.
Wouldn't it be sad to grow up in a Christian home? Belong to a good church that preaches the Bible and the truth and die and go to hell. All because the blood wasn't applied to the right place.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
I believe Brother Charles Dyer saved with all my heart. I do. I mean, brother, I believe he's saved as much as I believe I am. I truly do. And he's my friend. He's my close friend. But that his salvation don't cover me. His salvation don't cover me. I heard one guy one day talking about the Philippian jailer where he got saved over in the book of Acts, and they told him if he'd believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they said if you get saved that God covers your family. No, you don't. The reason God said, and thy house, is because he's the leader of the house and the wife and the children would follow his leadership. His salvation didn't cover them. His salvation covered him.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Mom and daddy, just because you're saved don't mean your kids automatically are.
Amen.
They need to trust Christ just like you did.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I was raised in a Christian home. But when I was 19 years old, I realized I got to get mine.
Yes, sir.
And the blood had to be applied.
Amen.
It's like taking Advil. With sinus headaches, I live on them things. I know when I get a headache and I got a big old bottle, we buy the big economy size. I know if I go in there and take me some of them Advil, that headache would be okay. Did you know having the Advil is not enough?
Amen.
Having the there's probably not a home represented in this room this morning that doesn't have a King James Bible in it somewhere.
Come on, preacher.
Probably not, Brother Fred. Probably every home represented in here got a Bible in the house somewhere.
Yes,
it's not enough to have it.
Amen, preacher.
It's not enough. It's got to be taken.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I knew about the blood of Jesus when I was a kid. I mean, man, time I was 7, 8 years old, I could tell you how to be saved.
Amen.
I really could.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when we was teenagers going to camp up there at Brother Sammy Allen, man, we prayed with people, told them how to be saved. I had the truth.
Yes, sir.
I knew the truth, but I'd never applied it to my own life.
Amen.
What a thing. Wouldn't that have been sad to die and go to hell?
Yes.
Growing up in a church like White Oak Springs. Brother Charles, I heard some of the greatest preachers that's ever lived. People are amazed. People are amazed. Preachers, I preach around the country and talk to these preachers, and they go, you knew Billy Kelly? Yeah. You knew Mays Jackson? Yeah. Grew up around it.
Amen.
Wouldn't that have been a shame?
Amen, preacher.
Wouldn't that have been a shame? To be taken under the wing of Jay Bice as a little boy.
Yeah.
Jason's daddy, he taught me how to tie my shoes. Wouldn't that have been a shame to be around a man of God like that and die and go to hell?
Come on, preacher. Amen.
All because I never applied it to my own life.
Yes,
amen.
The prominence of the blood. It's the blood or nothing.
Amen.
You've got to trust in what Jesus did at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
The protection of the blood. If you're saved, you're saved. Now, grant you can't get so backslid you don't feel saved anymore. And it's not you need to get saved again, you just need to get right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Then there's the placement of the blood. Is the blood in the right place?
Yes, sir.
I believe there's saved people here this morning, but are you? I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I fell dead right here in this pulpit, brother, you better preach me in heaven because that's where I'm at.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If you preach I wasn't saved at my funeral, if you outlive me, You'll be lying. Amen. Just as sure as the world goes around, I can't not be 100% positive about nobody else, but I know about me. And I don't always feel saved, Brother Freddie. I don't. Sometimes I feel as rotten and low down as a man can feel. But I go back to Jason's daddy's front yard in the wee hours of the morning, that pine tree. I can still see it when I drive by there. I got him up out of bed. I got down under that tree, and the blood was placed on my soul that New Year's Eve. Can you go back there? Is there a time, is there a place you can go where you knelt and called on Christ to be your Savior? If you can, I beg you to make that place this place this morning. To get that thing settled once and for all. Dad, can you look at your children dead in the eyeball today and say, I want you to know without any doubt, if something happens to your daddy, I'll be in heaven. Sir, could you tell your wife that? Ladies, could you tell your children that? Could you tell your husband that? Children, could you tell your parents that? Huh? I did a funeral just here. It was Brother Dwayne's mother. We went to Brother Dwayne's mother's funeral. It was Brother Randy's. Somebody's. I believe it was Brother Randy's. And we didn't know if it was a stepmother, wasn't it? Help me out. Is that right? And we didn't know if she saved or not. We got the funeral home, and Brother Randy's sister was there, and I wanted to know. I wanted to know this lady that we're about to bury, is she in heaven? Can I tell her family she's in heaven and be truthful? And Brother Randy's sister said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's important you tell somebody.
That's right,
preacher.
Amen. Amen.
It's important you tell somebody. Amen. With the mouth, the Bible said, confession is made.
That's right.
Yes, it's important to let somebody know.
Amen.
I'd do it right now.
Yeah.
Honey, if I fall over dead, I'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'll get mad if you remarry, so you just know that. I'll be watching from heaven. Somebody ought to know. But first and foremost, you ought to know. John said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Brother Todd, y'all come and get us a song this morning. Let's stand our feet all over the house. The prominence of the blood, the protection of the blood, and the placement of the blood. I'm glad all three have been emphasized in my life, and I hope they have yours. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Nobody looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen, this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to search out your own heart, to look at your own soul this morning. Ask yourself right now, has the blood been applied? If I died right now, would heaven be my home? Am I sure about my salvation? The Bible said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Hey, listen, I check my heart often. I'm inviting you to check yours this morning. Now, when you ask yourself, am I saved? If you can't answer that positively, yes, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. If you just slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? God bless your heart, ma'am. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else? Just slip up your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really get this settled, God bless you, sir. God bless your heart, ma'am. Thank you so much. I don't want to die and go to hell. If I can really know, please pray that I'd get it taken care of today. Anybody else? How about this, preacher? I know I'm saved. I do. I'm as sure of that as I am my own name. But I got family that's not. I got loved ones. If I'm afraid if they died right now, they'd bust hell wide open. Preacher, would you pray for my family, my friends? God bless your heart. All over this room. We don't pray for lost people enough. I'm convinced of that. Thank you so much. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you again this morning. God, you saw every hand. You know every heart. You know where the blood has been applied and where it is not. God, I pray you deal with us, God.
accordingly this morning. God, speak to our hearts to do what you'd have us to do. Lord, don't let these that raise their hand not sure about their salvation, don't let them leave here today. Help them, God, to get it settled before they go home, before they leave this place. Lord, for every lost relative, loved one, friend that was represented by hands being raised this morning, God, I pray the gospel would reach them, and Lord, they'd trust you as their Savior. Lord, we want to thank you for the blood this morning. Thank you for the blood that washed away our sin. God, we want to thank you for the blood that saved us, but Lord, I want to thank you for the blood that secured us. I want to thank you for the blood that shelters us this morning. Thank you so much. We love you, Lord. Now have your way in this altar call, and we'll give you glory, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.